Everyone's so different. There's no magic. There is no magic dust that helps people. It's only you that can help yourself. Yeah, I do like to seek harmony where I can, and yeah, and if you can't be kind, what you're doing might
exactly.
If someone isn't or isn't unwilling to kind of have an open mind or willing to look at things from a different perspective, it's a bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard work. Listen to people, like, really listen to people.
Mm-hmm.
I've met some amazing people along the way. What have I done? Again, I've made this decision.
Right.
What if it doesn't work out?
Yeah.
What if all of the people don't like me? What if they don't get me? What if it... And this is, like, really insecure stuff.
Yeah.
And you have this, like, first day of school, like, nerves, like, this might not work.
Tom.
Hello.
Thank you for coming on today.
You're
we
welcome.
Do appreciate it. I'm going to jump straight in. You work with people.
Mm-hmm.
Why people? Why work so closely with others and wanting to support other people? What is it about that?
It's a good question, actually. I just like people, like working with people. I like people. I like being around people. I'm absolutely fascinated by how people, how everyone is really completely like so different. I don't know. You can't put something on it. I can't say like, oh, it's a thing. Like
yeah.
It's a, you can touch it or you feel it. Or you can like, it's just like a bad, just people are great.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are like, no, thanks. Couldn't think of anything worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognize that quite early on. I've had some, like, as it will probably come on to, I've some weird like career jumps, and I've tried this, tried that, tried the other. And there's one point in my career I recognized that I was like, no, that's, I just like talking to people.
Yeah.
I like having a chat. I like trying to kind of figure out what makes them tick. I like helping them probably think a little bit differently, or trying to help them think a bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that I'm good at it or I've just fascinated. It brings people joy, brings people happiness. I like helping people or feeling like I've had like made a difference.
Yeah.
And I've never been someone that's overly kind of persistent or consistent with like a specific skill.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to say like a software developer or like a carpenter, I've never persisted like, I'm gonna focus on that one thing.
Yeah.
Where with people I found that I could kind of move about and try different things. HR always became like the pointing, or like the kind of like thing that I was always connected to.
Yeah.
I like helping people.
Yeah.
A bit of a yes guy.
Uh-huh.
I don't think you'll ever get that out of me. Like, that will never change.
Yeah.
I just quite like saying yes and go, oh, yeah, let's help. Let's go, give it a go.
Yeah. And I have here my notes. Like, when I first met you, you struck me as a very kind, caring person just in general in conversation, and it made sense the role that you have here.
I'd like to think so. I know, 'cause I'm quite, thanks.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that is part of my makeup, and like talk about values and
mm-hmm.
Like harmony. I quite like, I don't mind conflict, but I do like to seek harmony where I can, and mm-hmm. and if you can't be kind, what you're doing might
exactly in the business of people. What differences do you see between different types of people, and how do you find yourself helping them the most, do you think?
Like, everyone's different.
Mm-hmm.
There's not one person on the planet that is identical. Yes, we'll have similarities. We lean to certain preferences, which we may lean to certain groups.
Yeah.
There's no like magic dust that mm-hmm. like helps you kind of help a certain person or subtype of person, or a person, how a person acts or a person works. That person has to help themselves.
Mm.
And I found that over time, if someone's willing to kind of look at themselves and go, oh, actually, if I change this about myself, or I'm going to grow in this way, or develop myself in this skill, or I'm going to listen to someone slightly differently, or look at something from a different perspective, so they've got some form of a growth mindset, then they're onto a winner. If someone isn't unwilling to kind of have an open mind or willing to look at things from a different perspective, it's a bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard work, because you're stuck at day one all the time, or you keep coming back to day one.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know really answer the question. Like everyone's so different. There's no magic dust. There is no magic dust that like helps people. It's only you that can help yourself, really.
Yeah.
And having a willingness to adapt and listen and kind of explore and be curious and how can I improve my relationship with that person by thinking differently, by looking at it from a different perspective, by just understanding their point of view.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably one of my biggest learning. That's probably only recently that I really figured that out, don't talk to everyone in the same way.
Yeah.
Talk to them in what's their preference? How do they act? How do they open up and whatnot?
Yeah. Before we move on, I want to ask you about you and you work with people and help other people out. For you in your life, what's been the thing for you that's helped you the most grow within career or personal life? Have you implemented those? Because I think sometimes when you teach people, maybe you don't do the things yourself.
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens. Have you found that that's been a struggle, or have you taken on board the advice you give for yourself?
Yeah, it's been a learning curve. I think from a professional and from a personal point of view, I think there are similarities. Who I am here is the person that I am at home. I certainly have taken on, especially the last 6 or so years, that's been a real up and down kind of learning of who I am, and especially from a career point of view. But I've had some great opportunities with some great people that have kind of pointed me in the right direction, or just given some words of wisdom, or had some just some good conversations that really made me realize actually I probably should look at things differently. Yeah. And also I've done some pretty crappy stuff when it comes to kind of management and leadership, where you've gone and maybe followed suit. So you've seen someone do something and they're a leader, or they're a manager in the business or whatever it may be. And you're going, they did that, so I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And then you quickly realize that, no, that's not probably the thing to do it. So, yeah. It took me a few goes to go, oh, actually, I probably should kind of do what I think is right.
Mm-hmm.
Try and do the best of what I can do. And if I can't, is listen to the people around me.
Yeah.
I was quite fortunate in a previous role is that a team that would tell me if I'm wrong.
Oh, okay. Very forward.
Yeah, no, but I think I hope I had some kind of influence in allowing that to happen.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't for those guys, I don't think that I'd kind of be sitting in the role I am now.
Okay.
But I had to be willing to listen to what they were going to say.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't, I'd be again stuck in that kind of day one world.
Yeah.
So
we're going to go down the road here of your past, and then we're going to move into all the different careers you've dabbled in.
Yeah.
And I was just confused,
yeah,
okay, especially at the beginning, but we'll come to that in a moment. So first, tell me about growing up. You've turned into this very caring, empathetic person, a great listener, which comes through in your work and what you hear at Qualy. Mm. Definitely. What was the catalyst for that as you were growing up? Was it something you've grown into, or was there some part of growth where it clicked for you?
I don't know whether I've always been, and I definitely haven't been. I think if my mum or my partner, I'm definitely not the best listener. Mm-hmm. Maybe I due to work, I have to focus a little bit more.
Yeah.
I don't know whether there was a moment in time. I think it's just been an evolution of me, really.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'm always going to be who I am, but in 5, 10, 15, 20 years, I'll probably look on this back on this moment, and that'll be, well, that's not, I'm definitely not that person now.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether that'd be a good or a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it. I don't think there's ever been one moment that has kind of shaped me. I think it's all little pieces of data that you take in.
Yeah, incremental.
Yeah, and I was quite fortunate. Good family, good friendship groups. So they kind of set you on a clear, straight and narrow path where you get, pretty good values and beliefs and friends and family that are willing to call you out and also allow you to have a voice as well is really important.
Yeah. So did you find then growing up those friendship circles were a good influence? You didn't find, I don't know, during school or things like this, did you ever stray or anything like that? Or were those solid groups helpful?
Yeah, I've got quite a fortunate, a weird one as well. We've got a close, I don't know if it's friendship, so friends I've got now, we've got different friendship groups, but there's like a core friendship group, which I've grown up with as a kid. We don't see each other as much as we would have done back then, but it's still connected. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, yeah, that's like quite like a foundation of like who I am, mm-hmm. is because of like that group of friends that have kept you on the straight and narrow.
Yeah.
And yeah, there would have been times in like, especially like in like younger life that, yeah, maybe going off bit of track, going off track.
Yeah.
But I think just because of a group of people that aren't going off track together,
yeah.
They kind of pull you back in if you are.
Absolutely.
So I think quite fortunate.
Yeah.
In that world.
Briefly on potentially teenage years here. Obviously Qualia, a gaming company. I don't think we've spoken about this yet, but do you play anything? Are you into anything? Is it more, do you play board games and things
like that? So I grew up, PlayStation was, well, I think a Sega Mega Drive was my first.
Yeah.
Maybe a Game Boy was the first thing I had. And then I was, and PlayStation, Xbox, Switch. So yeah, like the Nintendo world is.
Yeah.
And then a lot, like we, especially for my teenage years, was a lot of like that Pro Evolution, FIFA.
Yeah, Pro Evolution.
Championship Manager.
Which was always the better one, of course, than FIFA. Pro Evo.
Yeah.
There was that argument, right? It's Pro Evolution and FIFA at the same time.
Yeah, there was one with like, is it Adriano on the front, I think? I don't know. There was one like remember. Pro Evo was like the last one, and then it turned to FIFA.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of that playing with friends.
Okay.
A lot of Football Manager, and I don't know what else I played a lot of. Grand Theft Auto.
Mm-hmm. Are you excited about the new one?
I will be coming out of retirement for Grand Theft Auto. I don't think I've played GTA since like Vice City or San Andreas. Uh-huh. But yeah, this one, now there's not too much risk in me. I don't know if I would have bought Grand Theft Auto 4 or 5.
Yeah.
That came out, like 12 years ago?
A long time.
Yeah.
A long time.
That was at the point where I was probably thinking, Tom, you probably need to sort your career out. GTA is not the game that I need to be distracting me away from my career. That and Football Manager.
Talking to Football Manager, then, are you big into football?
Sports, not as much as I used to. Sports. I just like sports.
Big
sports fan.
Is it one of those things where you'd watch whatever's on, or is there a particular sport or team that you like the most?
Weirdly, I grew up being like a Liverpool fan, but I'm actually, I think I am a Leicester fan, but I don't know whether that's like kicked in since we're in the league. You're like, well, now I'm from Leicester. I'm now a Leicester fan.
Now you're proud.
Yeah, that's it. I wasn't before. It's disgusting. How dare they? Yeah. I just sports. I'm fascinated by sports and athletes and even just like elite, like in the arts or whatever it is. And you're fascinated by people can get to that level, especially when it comes down to things like Olympics or tennis is one that fascinated by. I play a bit of golf and
nice. Yeah, I remember playing golf. I grew up in a smaller place and we had a golf course, but I think it had like only a few holes, and it wasn't the nicest park, but I used to go there with my, because I think I must have watched some golf randomly.
Yeah.
I thought I'm gonna be a player.
Yeah.
And went and bought a club and just hitting it, one of those fads, I guess.
Yeah. Pick it up and put it down very quickly.
Yes.
It's quite a frustrating sport. Yeah, I don't know if you call it sport or walk ruin.
Yeah. Well, I have some close friends who play it often, Saturdays. And I guess it's just the time to chill with your friends as well.
I picked it back up. Like, so I played a bit as a kid and then picked it back up again. And that's again, like, I think that goes back down to, I was talking about earlier about like never being like the best at anything, like a specific skill. And that was the same with like sport, really. I'm just not consistent and or persistent enough.
Yeah.
And I don't mind that. I'm like a serial hobbyist. I would like pick up anything.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, I'll give it a go. I'll never be the best, but I enjoy like the learning process.
Yeah, yeah.
So I enjoy like probably I get to the point of frustration. I'm like, we'll try something new. I'll be the like most mediocre baker there is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Baking.
No, I'm not. I don't think I've ever baked in my life. Maybe that's the next. Maybe that's the next thing. Golf gets put to one side.
Yeah. Right. Let's move on to school years, and this is just, and then into work. Mm-hmm. This is where I got confused.
Yeah.
So, Lutterworth Grammar School.
Yeah.
You did media.
Yeah.
Let's start there. Why media? And going forward into your skills, I've read, you know, InDesign, Photoshop, all these sorts of things, which correlates to media and things like that. What was it about that? Or was it similar to the hobbies where you were really interested in it and you gave it a go? Or did you something inspire you to want to do it?
So yeah, media just, I think I was fascinated. Okay, if I go back, I was just fascinated by the topic. It was different. I'd never been an academic.
Yeah.
So enjoyed school, liked going to school. It's quite a social element.
Yeah.
I just don't learn in that way. I just don't. I get that too distracted. Media felt like a bit of a creative outlet. It just felt like a maybe even a bit of a way out. Maybe back then it was like an easier topic. I wanted to stay within A levels and then university options came around. I was like, well, yeah, this isn't for. I just don't, and that. We'll come on to it in a bit, but yeah, like I just being academic, I was like, I'm not academic.
Okay.
And I was quite comfortable with that. Go through years of being a bit lost of what I want to do and stuff like that. But media was fairly creative, quite interesting. They said you could watch films.
What films did you watch on the course? Do you remember?
Or
TV shows or?
No, what did we watch? Yeah, I think we just like introduced like the classics.
Okay.
I remember what's the guy that gets stabbed behind a curtain. That's a really famous film.
Behind a curtain,
Stephen, isn't it like a Stephen King?
Okay, like a thriller.
Yeah, it's like this is like if anyone's gonna watch this, it's like it's that film.
Oh, okay. I'm sure we'll find it. We'll bring it up on screen.
I've got birds in my head, but it's not birds.
No, we'll bring it up. We'll find it. We'll find it. Okay, so you did that sort of thing. We did. So I did media as well for A level.
Mm-hmm.
And what did we watch? The Wire.
Mm-hmm.
That was one thing we did.
That.
Yeah. It was when the first season came out. Films.
I might watch Shawshank Redemption as well. That rings a bell watching it.
They just really hit you with all the classics.
Yeah, I don't know why they did it. That's like a 3 hour, just a long one, isn't it? They've gone, that was shut them up for a bit.
Teachers wheeling the TV.
Yeah.
I bet if younger people are watching this, they don't know what wheeling in a TV means.
We had to film an advert as part of like our coursework, and it wasn't done on digital, so it was done on tape.
No,
that was a mad experience. That is
on tape.
Like I think they had like digital cameras. They'd just come in, but there was like
they
were like the best. There was like two of them, and I remember having to like put tape in it was too confusing. And again, I've probably gone, this is too much for me. I am out. I am not the next Spielberg.
You've reminded me now because we did the same. It wasn't an advert, but we had to do a short film.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was so cringe. I can't believe I'm saying this. So it was a love story, and the premise of it was a guy and a girl were walking and talking about how much they liked the other person or something, and you thought they were talking about they're in different worlds, and it was a split screen, and they got closer and closer, and then the screen opened out and you realized they were walking on a path toward each other they met.
I know I would have no idea how to do a split screen or anything like that. Yeah, so I'm like, that's pretty good.
It was cringe. All right, it was,
that's how you get an A.
It was just, and I was in it obviously, but it was just, anyway, that was embarrassing, but that was what we did as well. So very similar. Making stuff.
Yeah, it was quite creative. It seemed quite cool. I don't remember the name of the teacher now, but I remember them being. I always remember they were quite.
Yeah, they're normally like the.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
Pooky, cool ones, bit weird.
But I just remember being quite kind and quite influential. I guess they taught you on a level, which was quite nice.
I think that was especially with the arts. It was like that.
Mm-hmm.
They were creating with you rather than talking at you.
Yeah.
Which was what I always found was great too. Right. So you said that you weren't an academic and the first job, Santander.
Yeah. So
mortgage retention.
Yeah. That terrified. Absolutely. Absolutely. Terrified.
How did that happen?
So there was a point to go, do you go to university or do you not? Unfortunately, I didn't have like a destined career path. So it wasn't like, I want to be, I don't want to be an actor. I want to be a carpenter. I don't know. I didn't have there wasn't like a skill that I wanted to kind of professionalize in. I was just a bit lost really. So came out of school, didn't really know what I wanted to do. And then, so Santander was like near where I lived, like within walking distance.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so they shouldn't do that to people. I don't know how old I was, like 17 or 18.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, talk to these people about their mortgages. I didn't know what a mortgage was. Like, I was so bad at that job. Like, so bad.
How did you get the job though? How did you get hired?
I don't know. I did. I worked in a, like their doc store. So my first jobs within that like mortgage was to be like collecting, like housing documents, so like your deeds and stuff like that, and then you scan them.
Okay.
Like a huge store, a huge place.
Yeah.
Like these, I've never seen anything like it. And then I must have been impressed in my like being able to go and collect some papers and scan them. And then they put me on the phones talking to people about their mortgages. Okay. And I remember like the base rate or something, like the interest rate went sky high.
Right.
And it was a pretty dark time. Like, yeah, so yeah. What year was that? 2006?
That was 2006, yeah.
Yeah. So, like the crash. Yeah. You don't want to be talking to me on the phone. Just not on mortgages.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're like, interest rates are going through the roof. It was pretty bad.
Well, people are asking for advice and things like that on the phone.
No, so I wasn't ever to give advice. I was talking about like their account and like what they owed and stuff. I didn't know what was going on. And like they were getting charged because of like the different in interest rates and payments were changing. And also I was meant to know what was, this is the reason why it's gone up.
Okay.
I didn't have a clue. And they gave me, I remember like the training, they put you in a room, the big book, and then they taught you through everything, like the systems, how the system worked, but all like the information was in this book.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not into this. This is not for me. And then a friend of mine, so then we was like, I need to get out of this. I need to do something.
Yeah.
This was so annoying. So I remember like handing my notice and we was like, where's you gonna go to Ibiza? You're a season in Ibiza, we're gonna disappear, out of this like mortgage. Let's go from one extreme to the other.
Yeah.
I remember handing my notice in the next day, like, oh, I'm making people redundant. And they were like, but not you, because you're already leaving. I was like,
oh wow.
So that would have, it was a weird time.
I mean, at least you made a decision. Did you go to Ibiza?
I did, yeah, I did. Just like half, like middle of a season, really. Yeah. It
was wow.
Cool. Yeah, it was good fun. And as I said earlier, these are things that like make you as a person, like the evolution of you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to talk to people, you have to meet new people. And yeah, it's a party island, but actually I was like selling like tickets, then running bar crawls, then worked for like Ibiza Rocks. And it was that was a vibe. That was,
it's interesting you saying, you know, you don't know when it clicked or like you've changed over time to become this role, this people person. But from all of this, it sounds like that was, you just gravitate to people.
Yeah.
That's your thing.
So that like, I think that's when you realize, I think going, doing something like that, going on like a gap year or going traveling or whatever it may be. I do think, and I've never done it like extensively to like for years at a time and not done a lot of, I've been fortunate to travel like on holidays and stuff like that. But I think being putting in a situation where you have to talk to people and you have to like learn about people, see things from a different perspective, learn about different cultures. And it does change you in a way. Like I know it's really cliche and a bit cheesy, but you do come back from it and go, like, this is.
Yeah. I'm different to who it was when I first left.
Yeah. Look at my dreadlocks. So.
Have you had any crazy hairstyles in your life?
Yes, have I?
Oh, really?
I had a Mohican once. I had a Mohican and people thought it was because it was David Beckham that had a Mohican.
I was going to say, did you?
It wasn't. It was because Robbie Williams had a Mohican and it was like blonde.
Because of Robbie Williams.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a couple of questions later for you that I'm glad that you know of those things. That sounds great. Mortgage retention. You went to Ibiza, blew off some steam, and then you came back and worked at Next.
Yeah, so I think there's a bit in between there. Like, there's some odd stuff that happened in between that.
Tell me, what little jobs did you do in between that?
And this is all about funny. As I said, like, I was like lost. And I think it's okay. I think if people are watching this and they are feeling like lost, it's okay to feel lost. I think like how I looked at it was like, I think you've got that time to make mistakes and learn and like figure stuff out. So I came up again, just like, lost, didn't really know what to do. Worked in a pub in like a local pub, and that was pretty cool. Like friends drank in there and it was quite good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Long days, hard work, again, talking to people. It's good. It's chatting to people at the bar. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I need to get a career. I need to be a career guy.
Okay.
So I joined the RAF.
Okay.
Yeah, that was, I joined the RAF and then I lasted 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. I decided very quickly that is not for me.
Tell me about the 2 weeks. So for day one, what's going through your head?
Why am I here? Like, what have I done?
What was it about the atmosphere and experience then that made you think that? Was it just how they?
So it wasn't really. Like, I think, again, like, I'm in this moment in my life where I'm lost. I'm completely.
Okay. So you're just like, trying things.
And trying. I've got no real focus. I've worked in this pub and I say friends of starting to get careers, people at university, and like, you feel like, actually, I'm just, what am I doing?
Yeah.
What am I doing? And I was like, and Tom at the time was like, do you know what people do when they don't know what to do?
Yeah.
They join the military.
Okay.
And you know me, I am not a military guy.
Well,
no, I am not.
Maybe back
but
there.
But fair play to anyone that does. And like, I like be like yeah, huge yeah. respect to anyone that does. And I just quickly recognized that it wasn't.
Just not for you.
It wasn't for me. Yeah. No, it wasn't for me.
So what was that conversation like 2 weeks in, however long, of telling whoever this isn't for me, I don't want to.
So you get like, there was a point, how I remember it anyway, so the point in time they sit you down and they basically say that everyone's in this big room and they go, oh, everyone's sitting on the floor, and they say, oh, right, if you, this is your last point, like any time like after this point you're tied in for, I think it's like 4 maybe 6 years or something like that, so it's like a long time.
Okay.
And like, does anyone want to leave? I'm like, no one. And there's just me, like, hand in the air, and I'm like, I'm out. I'm like a shimmy, like everyone's like sitting on the floor. I'm
just
like,
all judging you.
Like, see, I'm like, judge me all you like. I'm out of this place.
Yeah.
Like, I am gone. I made my decision a long time ago. And I was just waiting for a moment.
Okay.
And then, yeah.
Wow.
Good moment. Good. Yeah, good.
Did you feel, was it just like a relief come over you?
Yeah, I wasn't. Yeah. I thought I made a big decision that I cannot get out of, that I've completely against who I am, because that's like a lot of like what they do is like, it's all about like structure, discipline. And you see how I talk, like I do fall in line, but I like to have a bit of freedom.
And
think creatively and like explore different ways of doing things. And so it's their way or not. Yeah, that
very
way.
Rigid.
Yeah. And yeah, and I was like, get me out.
So walked out the RAF.
Yeah.
The next week or so, what's happening?
So then I need a job. So I'm like, okay, right. So I need money coming in. Right?
Yeah.
And again, I'm only early 20s. I don't know what to do. And so my mum had worked at Next for years and years and years and years. And there was, so a family friend was running a store, next door in Leicester. Mm-hmm. And it was like over Christmas period. I just started like on a temp contract. And I was like, oh, well, yes, this is fine. This will do for now. And I'll figure stuff out. And I was starting to think more like career minded.
Okay.
One thing led to another. Like, I went from like working on deliveries and then they like shop floor and then like into like a management position, like a supervisory position.
Yes.
And there was like a moment in time. I remember someone telling me, I was like, oh, do you want to go and help like someone train, like can train someone like on to use the tills and stuff? And I was like, oh, I don't have to use the till. Like, okay, I can do that. So I'm going to have to go and serve people for a bit. So I saw it as like a way out to,
okay,
like away from work. And I was like, oh, I'm going to try and gonna help people.
Yeah.
Oh no, I didn't think I was going to help people. I just saw it as a way, like, I'm not going to be on the tills. I can go and just like show people around the store and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I remember it. I was like, oh, this is fun. I enjoy doing this. And I enjoy thinking like, how can I make it a bit more engaging, a bit more fun? And let's be fair. Like, we're like replenishing shelves or like learning how to scan stuff. Or it's not the most exciting like thing to train people on. But I was like, oh, I actually quite enjoy this.
Okay.
And that I remember that moment in time going, oh, I think this could be pretty cool.
Wow.
And I didn't know there was a career in training or learning and development. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
I just like, oh, if I could do this, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
And then we had like, you had like training teams that come into Next and they like help out with, basically make sure that the store has like a basically the training's on track and people are getting trained and like inductions are happening. Yeah. And Nick, the kind of the area trainer at the time, I remember having a conversation with him about it. And then that was like the first moment I was like, oh, like people do this for a job.
Mm.
People can just like go into a company or work for a company and like help.
Yeah.
And help people like learn how to do stuff. And then that just like over time, that just like escalated into like what L&D can be,
mm-hmm.
is that it's not just about training someone in a process. Cause that's where my thought was. I'm like, although I can just like train someone how to scan a bag for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But then you go, oh, actually there's more to it. And then you start going to worlds of like from process into like kind of behaviors and leadership and emotional intelligence and then coaching and mentorship and like it, and then strategy and all of a sudden you go, oh, actually this is big.
Yeah.
Like L&D people actually like value this stuff. And
yeah.
This is seen like, and I don't even know. So I was with Next for, I don't know how long, 6 years, 7 years?
Well, I don't think I've got dates here.
Yeah, six.
But a while. Yeah.
It was a long time. I did a lot. So I went from store and then went into their like L&D team, moved into their learning development function, their retail L&D. And that, I just had a few jobs in there. And that's where I got my creative. So like, I worked doing some like resource stuff, like putting together like training documents and stuff like that,
yeah.
As part of like the apprenticeship scheme or whether it's part of the leadership stuff. And it's all, that's quite creative. That was like,
yeah,
that's quite fun. That was creating like training material.
Right. Okay.
And then went into like their, one of their like training roles, area roles. And that was all around the country. That was pretty cool. That was good fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, I loved that. That gave me a bit of structure.
Yeah.
That gave me a bit of like a home.
Yeah.
I'd found this thing that I enjoyed mm-hmm. doing and I could talk to people all day,
yeah.
every day.
Yeah.
And I could see people, I started to see people like grow and mm-hmm. like learn something. I was like, oh, this is pretty, I'm enjoying this.
Yeah.
This is like, yeah, this is, I can do this for the rest of my life.
Wow.
This is awesome. And then you're probably going to come on to
the next place.
Yeah, then I...
But first, though, from what you were saying, I think that's interesting how you found quite early on in your 20s something that you were passionate about and you could see a career in it. I think sometimes it takes people maybe a little longer to figure it out.
But I jumped around doing like a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I worked in bars.
So trying things though was the way to.
So I think I'm just curiosity, right? So
yeah.
It's like food. You don't know what you like until you try it.
Yeah.
And you're probably not going to eat some food ever again because you don't like it.
Yeah.
So I was just, to other people, you're probably looking at like, what is he doing?
Mm.
And to me, I probably didn't know in myself what I was doing. Again, felt lost. It was all over the place, but all of a sudden you're like, actually, I quite like this. And maybe I was quite fortunate. I was quite fortunate to be working for a company that were looking after me. I enjoyed the retail side. I liked talking to customers.
Yeah.
I can sit on my sofa.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was good fun.
Wow.
Yeah. And it just evolved. And I was quite, again, being from Leicester, Next head office, I just like right place.
Stars aligned.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah. So, moving forward then, you were at PPL PRS Limited.
Yeah. I probably want to switch. There's one more before I want to take.
Oh, sure.
I,
yeah.
If there's moments in your life you have to learn from.
Yeah.
I made a mistake. So I moved, I left. I don't know if I made a mistake. I made a change, which ultimately got to me where I am now.
Okay.
But yeah, I left Next purely hunting. So we moved to London purely hunting for money.
Okay.
My mind was like, I'm gonna earn loads of cash.
Yeah.
That is my goal. I'm gonna earn loads of money. And my granddad, I remember I had a conversation with my granddad and he said, he's like, oh, just do what you love and the money will follow.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult when you're like in your 20s wanting to earn £1 billion a day.
Yeah.
But then not realizing that probably not that possible.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'll move to London. I'm gonna get into like, what do I like doing? I'm gonna, rather than going down like that L&D route and finding like an L&D role
mm-hmm.
in London, I just made, again, going probably that scattergunny, like, part of my brain, not, I don't know, is just saying, don't make a rational decision, Tom. Make something a bit more rational. Just like do something way off the wall.
Yeah.
What you're going to do is you're going to move to London and you're going to go into recruitment. I can help people. I can talk to people.
Yeah.
Recruitment's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And very much like the RAF, I moved to London. Me and partner moved down to London into this job.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is not for me. What have I done? I've made a huge mistake. But it took me that moment to realize that the stuff I was doing at Next, I was like, oh, no, that's the stuff you want to do.
Okay. And it wasn't worth the money?
No, I wasn't there long enough to know that you can make money out of it.
Oh.
Okay. Still like a, yeah. So people do, right? People made, yeah. Yeah. But that also made me realize that, yeah, what my granddad was saying is, yeah, do what you love mm-hmm. and it will follow.
Yeah.
And by no means I'm saying that that's happening, but it's, I think having the focus, actually, you've got a passion, you enjoy doing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's going to be ups and downs with those days and the stuff you love, but it took me a moment to go and chase something completely ridiculous yeah. that was not kind of connected, but not
yeah.
do something really drastic to go, yeah, but remember what, how good it was.
Your time at PPL, PRS, and also moving to London and things like this. You were moving with your partner at the time. Yeah. Family. What was that like? You know, moving to London, moving back, were they on board with all this? If you can speak on this.
Shit, I mean, like, if you're watching this, you'd be like, no. So yeah, I'm like, super thankful for Becky. Like, she came, and that's not even like a, like, have you seen like the Beckham documentary?
I have indeed.
I'm not comparing myself to Beckham in any way, shape or form. But like, he was like following like a career, like he would like move around the world and yeah. stuff. And that felt like, Victoria seemed like a bit of a pain, but they yeah. were like strategic career moves.
Yes.
What I'd asked Becky to do was like, hey, come to London because I might want to do a thing over there and we'll see whether it work or not. Okay. So that was like she like put a lot of faith in or willingness to come with me, but also was way on board when I was like, I'm not. Yeah. Okay. I quickly, it was like, yeah, this isn't working.
She was almost relieved.
Oh yeah. It didn't work for her. That was all that move was like really selfish. That was like I'm going to do that. And she was great. Like,
yeah.
And then
sometimes those things define relationships, right?
Yeah.
Who's willing to do that.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
So, don't do that. Cause she was thinking like, no, I owe her. She's not really thought about that. Like, oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Well, right, welcome.
I'll write that down.
Yeah. Right. So head of people development here at Qualy.
Yeah, yeah.
6 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why Qualy? What happened at your previous job to make you think, I need to move on to the next step?
Yeah, I say like PPLPRS were great. I had so much progression, so much opportunity. Like I grew in roles and was, yeah, effectively, yeah, like it was doing very what I'm doing now, but at Qualy, I just needed more. So I had, when I came into PPLPRS, I then started setting myself goals. So I was like, then I started to really think about my career and I was like, I'm actually going to set like goals I want to do and I want to achieve and like personal stuff. So like, how do I want to learn this? When I get to that point, I want to start to lead people again. I wanted to do this, that, and the other. And yeah. I kept on sticking to it. And it was the first time really in my life where I started to like really have like a focus. I'm going to do that. I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to get it. And when I've got it, I'm going to keep trying to get the next thing. Yeah. And I had like some great opportunities, some great conversations with great people who told me to back myself and like, yeah, if you say you're going to do it. And,
yeah.
And that really focused who I was really, or not who I was, what I wanted to do. And, the move from PPLPR is not in like, it was purely about progression. It was purely about, and not that they couldn't facilitate my growth and like what I wanted to do. They just didn't need the role, like a head of people development at PPLPR. They didn't need it. It's not the right scale.
Right.
It would have been not a commercial move. They wouldn't have, yeah, there's no point.
Yeah.
Just unfortunately you have to, as much as I loved it, a little bit like Next, I guess I left Next for the wrong reasons, but it was kind of sad to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Same with PPLPRS. I didn't really want to leave the people. The people were amazing and the job was good and I loved working there. I enjoyed going into work. So that's a really fortunate place to be. But there had to become a point in time where I was like, I need to close this chapter.
Yeah.
If I don't close the chapter, I'm here for another 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Without progression.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that's not down to them. That is like, I have to recognize that I probably reached the ceiling.
Yeah.
And I had a goal, I had a vision. And yeah, this came as an opportunity and yeah, you get nervous coming in. And like, I was like, what have I done again? I've made this decision.
Right.
What if it doesn't work out?
Yeah.
What if all of the people don't like me? What if they don't get me? What if it, and this is like really insecure stuff.
Yeah.
And you have this like first day of school, like nerves, like this might not work. Mm-hmm. But then you compound that by you're further in your career. So you've got, there are more financial commitments and this decision to move, if it doesn't work out, it's not just, I can't just go trying jobs again. I'm pretty sure I could, but
yeah,
it's not.
It's harder.
It's harder to make that decision to move.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a big. It was a big. Like it took a long time to make that decision to.
Right.
So okay. Like I'm gonna move.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad I did. And you have those goals, and at the minute I'm in like this like honeymoon stage of like just learning so much. The industry I've never worked in before, mm-hmm. and again right at the start. At PPL Heroes, I was doing the same thing. Never worked in the industry. Got to learn, got to throw myself into it. Got to apply myself in the best possible way. Mm. I'm going to do things with integrity, dignity. I'm going to kind of be true to who I am, do the right thing. If I keep to those kind of values, hopefully it'll all work out.
Yeah.
I'm back. And this time going in, having this conversation from PPL PRS where people are telling me to back myself.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm probably different to where I was. At PPLPRS now I am like actually yeah maybe I can do this
more secure
yeah there was a podcast, there was a high performance podcast with Matthew McConaughey, and he speaks about like backing himself, like if you're going to do it and believe in yourself.
Yeah.
And that's changing that mindset is not necessarily being like egotistical and like so sure of yourself that you can't fail. I know of my flaws and I know of my failings. I know that I can and will fail, and but I back myself that actually I do know what I'm talking about. I can do it.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to still listen and learn from people.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good. It's good so far. We're all good.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah. Well, normally on these podcasts, I do ask someone in your position of advice you would give to your younger self who, interfaces well with other people, but didn't really know their route going forward. What advice would you give yourself that's led you to here on your journey?
Advice was a gift to myself that's led me to here. Like, listen to people, like, really listen to people.
Mm-hmm.
I've met some amazing people along the way. There's too many to name that do have, like, make a real difference on what you do.
Yeah.
Also, some people that I've listened to and go, I'm not taking that advice on board.
Yeah.
But listening. But there's been too many times in my career where I've not really listened to them.
Right.
I think there's been moments where I've gone, no, I'll do it my way.
Okay.
My way. That's okay. Or I've not taken it seriously.
Right.
But actually, 9 times out of 10, it's coming from a really good place.
Yeah.
So if I was to go back, I was like, actually, just listen more, because I think I could have taken in way more than I did.
Yeah.
By listening. But also, if there's a second thing, it's like, just keep giving it a go. Yeah. But once I've found what I love doing and I love working in this world, it's keep going.
Yeah. Keep plugging away.
Yeah.
Thank you again for coming on the podcast. I really do appreciate you opening up about your past and your career. And it's fun for me to learn about you as well.
Yeah.
And especially being in you've been in the music industry, you've been worked at banks, you've done media, you're a wizard on Photoshop.
Not touching a while, but yeah, I know.
Okay. That was really cool when I read that.
Yeah, no, that was good. That was next. It was on LinkedIn, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been for.
Because people have.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Endorsed my skill.
Yeah, endorsed your skills.
Must have been, yeah.
Well, thank you everyone for watching. We appreciate you coming by. If you like this content, there is a lot more down in the description below. And of course, like and subscribe and all these things pointing down there. And until next time, from myself and Tom, goodbye.